Who had a good Saturday? Anybody have a good Saturday? Okay, I want you guys to know that no OU fan said anything during that time frame. Not one single OU fan raised their hand or nothing. They're like, we did not have a good Saturday. Not a good Saturday. And we're praying that those Longhorns will have a good Sunday, right? Right, okay, there we go. We're clapping here, you know. My team already won, so I'm good. If not, I was going to call in sick, you know. But I think it's funny how many of us pray for our teams. Do you guys pray for your teams at all? Like, anybody? No, but can you guys please, listen, we're a participation church here, okay? I know that somebody has prayed for somebody, okay? If you didn't pray for your whole team, it was probably a fantasy team. It was something going on that maybe money was on the line, and so we're praying. Come on, one more time, ready? Who's prayed for their team this weekend? Anybody? Okay, all right. I did. We started a freshman quarterback, and we had a freshman kicker, and it was pretty because we won 24-7. But I kind of wonder, like, what's God do up there when everybody's praying for their own team? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think he's back there thinking, well, you know, my favorite color is orange, and so these teams will win today? And you know, like, he starts, like, shuffling through all of the prayers, and then all of a sudden he lays it out. Like, all right, you know, I, too, don't like the Sooners, and so. Anyways, I can say that you know, our pastor is a big Sooners fan, and since he's not here, I can say that, you know, and I'm for sure that God on the seventh day made the Florida Gators, and so that's one of the reasons why, you know, why I'm up here this morning. But I think what's funny is that we do that, and with all of the faith that we have in our heart, you know, we're literally praying, please, Tony Romo can stay sick this year because we'll win without him. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's got to be a certain, you know, we're like praying. It's so bad, but. What's funny is, though, is that we play favorites, don't we? I mean, I think we all play favorites. We have favorite football teams, you know, we have favorite restaurants that we eat at, you know. Then probably at those restaurants, we also have favorite plates at the restaurants. I'm curious if you guys pray when you go to your restaurant that the cook in the back will make your plate better than your spouse's plate. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is that happening? You know, like, listen, my favorite plate's here, so come on, Lord, if you'll bless my cook and bless this food so that it's better than hers, so that she'll finally agree that my plate is the best and most favorite, right? So we do this. We have our favorite coffee. We got our favorite desserts. We have all these things. We kind of play favorites. It's what we do. But when you start to play favorite, what that actually called is, it's called favoritism. It's an actual trait or characteristic that we have as people, kind of in the society we live in. It's something we do. Okay, and if we're playing favorites, then you know we also play favorites in our relationships. You know, we have like best friends, then we have okay friends, and then you know you have all these different things that you're setting up. Right? We have these different friends that are some are best, and some may be bester than other besties, and you got all these different best with bad suffixes that you have no idea what people are saying, but you just figured that they're somehow valuing their friendships. But on the other side of that, that means that, in a sense, you've devalued others. And so what happens with favoritism is favoritism ascribes value, and it devalues other things. But we live in a society of favorites, don't we? Come on. You scroll through that Facebook, right? And you're like, okay, that status post was no good. It does not get a like. And then you start going through, you're like, this status post is no good. Oh, look, Grumpy Cat. You hit the like, you know, because it's Grumpy Cat. All right, you start to play favorites. And we do that. It's the society we live in. But what we have to realize is with favoritism is that we start to ascribe value. We start to show partiality. We start to discriminate. We start to say this one has more value than another person. But this is the society we live in. Okay? And if you're taking notes, if you've been here before, have heard me speak, I'll tell you periodically what you should write down and what you shouldn't. Because I also have favorite parts of my message. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay? But one thing I want you to know is today we're going to talk about finding the fruits of favor. We're talking about finding the fruits of favor because we do know that God has favor, that God gives favor. But what we have to know, though, is that favoritism is a trait that's in a fallen world. And we read in Scripture just at the beginning that God shows no favoritism. So write that down. I want you to write down that God shows no favoritism. And that favoritism is a trait of a fallen world. I can say that it's a trait of a fallen world because it's not of God. If we're made in the likeness of God and we've been created by him through his breath, right, through the seed of man from the beginning, we're here. But yet we function in favoritism, and God doesn't function in favoritism. And the only difference is that he lives in heaven and we're here in a fallen world. Favoritism isn't bad, trust me, because listen, there's like tartar sauce, terrible. Zesty sauce from Burger King, on point. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? Okay. Ketchup, used to be my favorite. Chick-fil-A sauce, now my favorite. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing when we begin to do this, but I think we have to realize, though, that favoritism is something that happens in our society, and that we at times are the bun of it, you know, like just we get it, we get hurt by it sometimes because you're like, well, I really thought my friend, she didn't invite me, and then she invited these other people, like, am I not like part of that best crew? And as you know, because ultimately where there's favoritism, there's discrimination. Where there's favoritism, there is a partiality, and that we have to live with that. But today I want you guys to walk out of here realizing that God plays no favorites. And though we may have a fallen trait of favoritism, God is high and above that. So I want you to tell your neighbor, look him right in the eye, come on, don't look at me, I'm not your neighbor, look at your neighbor and say, you're God's favorite. Come on, tell your other neighbor, say, I didn't mean to devalue you with my second choice, but God plays no favorites. God plays no favorites. Not one single one of us is more favorited, well, that's a real word, most favorited, okay? I have like these teachers looking at me like, God, you guys go back to school with this guy, you know? The point is that God looks at all of us equally. And I think that's something we should praise God for. That despite your shame and your mistakes, he's your favorite. And despite your talent and your giftings and all the uniqueness that he's breathed into you, you're his favorite. That he's that mindful of you, that you're so much his favorite that he knows every single hair on your head, is what scripture says. As David cries out, look at this God who made all of the stars and all of the landscape and all of the mountains and everything I see from east to west. He's made all of these things, but yet he's mindful of me. Not us. Not collective, but you. He thinks of you. He knows you. You're his favorite. I think as a pastor standing up here, that's the best part. The message is over. You guys, you're his favorite. Just go out and live next week as his favorite. And really, you should. Because he is. And you are his favorite. He thinks of you. His heart is for you. He loves you. What we have to realize, church, how easy it is for us to ascribe fallen traits to a very most high God. He doesn't work in favoritism. He's not discriminatory. He's not partial. So then I start to ask myself the question that I'm sure all of us have asked, then how do we get favor? Because I kind of want some, need some little help, need a little favor. Come on, Lord. Come on, don't look at me like that. Come on, you agree with me, right? You want a little favor? We all ask the same questions. I didn't get any farther than that. I wasn't like some deep theologian like, oh man, you know, I wonder about the favor of the Lord and all this. No, I just want to know, God, how do I have your favor in my life? That's what I want to know. I want that to be answered. And basically what he's answered is that you have it. You don't have to pray for something you don't have because you already had favor. I don't need to ask him, why don't I have it? He says, you do have it. Well, I don't understand, Lord, because the fruit of the favor on earth doesn't seem to match up with what you're saying, because I'm struggling here, and I've got these circumstances, and I've got things happening in my friendships, in my marriages, in my children, and my job, and all these things. Where is my favor? I don't understand where my favor is. You're telling me I have access to your favor? Yeah. Yeah. You have all of my favor. Wait a minute. I don't know if I feel like that, because I think what I feel like is that you like them more than me. You guys ever had a thought like that? Man, like, God seems to favor them more than he favors me. God's up there playing favorites. Look, they got that job I was trying to go for, and you got that new car I've been saving for, and You know, like you have these different things that you start pointing out. And let me just tell you something very clearly, that the enemy plays a game. And he's trying to get you. He's trying to get you. And the biggest thing to steal your joy, the biggest thing that can blind you from favor is comparison. Comparison is the thief of your joy. Comparison is the thief of your contentment. Right? He'll do it. Compare. Oh, man, you got more favorites than that. And that, you know. But that's not how God works. He says it right there. Peter makes a proclamation that says God shows no favoritism. He does not play partiality. A different translation says that he is not a respecter of person. Okay? God loves in entirety. Unconditionally. You guys agree with that? Yes. Amen. I know that he does. So that means that really you're saying that he loves you no more than anybody else and no less than anybody else. All of his love is for you. But so is his mercy. And so is his grace. Right? So is his power. So is his healing. So is his prosperity. 100% all that God has, he has for every one of us, each one of us, all single, unique. I have access to God's love and to his grace, to his favor. So then what happens? I'm trying to find the fruit of favor in my life. God, I want to see the fruit of favor manifest itself. I want to see it. Okay? But God doesn't play favorites because it's everybody. He's not partial. Here's how I know this. Let's go to the scripture for a minute. Most popular scripture, anybody, whether they know Jesus or not, will probably be able to tell you John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. He didn't say for God so loved the elect, the chosen, the rich, the well-off, the healed. No, the world. In a sense, he's literally saying God so loved everybody that had been fallen and broken and shamed, which is all of us. He didn't ascribe love to anybody other than everybody. But then it goes on to say that whosoever believes on Jesus would come to know eternal life. Whosoever means whosoever. Everybody. Who? He did not say a specific people. There's no requirement to Jesus. You don't have to be something that you're not. You can be exactly who you are, and you're the whosoever. And you're part of the world that he loved, that he surrendered and sacrificed everything to. Oh, Mackie, but I've heard that taught before. It feels like that's probably the only time he's ever said anything like that. Well, I don't know. Let's look again. Right? Proverbs, let's see if I can find it real quick. Proverbs 8:35. For whoever finds me. Meaning that literally, it's like capture the flag but no teams. You know what I'm saying? Like he's just sitting out there. Whoever finds me will find life and receive the favor of the Lord. Okay, well that scripture right there tells me. Whosoever finds Jesus will have the favor of the Lord. Whosoever, everybody, each one of you that has found Christ, that has said, yes, I believe that Jesus is my personal Savior, that he did die on the cross for my judgment and sin, that he did go into the grave, that he didn't raise up 3 days later so that the grave could no longer hold me down. And now he sits as someone who basically talks to God on my behalf, on the right hand. I believe that. Well, great, you have God's favor in all of its fullness. Okay, all right. So whosoever, God doesn't show favoritism. Well, how do you get his favor, though? He says, just belong to the family. Because I loved everyone, and so I gave and made a plan for Jesus to come, and I've set that up. So if you'll just come and find Jesus, then you find favor. If you'll just come and find Jesus, you'll have life eternal. If you'll just come and find Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 9, you will have something in abundance so that you can stand self-sufficient under all circumstances and all things. God's given you grace. He's given you the favor. He's given the blessing, right, so that you can do good work and be a part of charitable donations. In other words, that favor has nothing to do with the parking lot at Walmart. Because you all know that. Come on. You all know it. You prayed a little bit. You're like, man, I'm just having a rough day. And you're going in and you're like, man, I'm tired of trying to find a parking lot. And then you see it. It's like the light comes through the broken clouds, you know, and that one Ford Taurus comes out of that front parking spot, and it drives off, and then you get like way Pentecostal. Lord Jesus, I got his favor. Look at that. I got my front parking lot. I only got to walk 5 spaces, you know, to get up to the front, and I don't have to do nothing because the Lord's favor is on me. No, it's not. You just got a parking lot. Just say you're lucky. You know, I got a little luck today because my timing was on, you know. Or really, all of us know that you probably circled the parking lot for like 25 minutes waiting for that to happen, and that way you can give God some praise, you know. No, that's not the favor of the Lord. That's just lucky. You know, we've all done that at like Christmas time. I don't know if you get scratch-off lottery tickets in your stockings, but I do, you know. And you get that one, you're like, ah, hot dog, $5! Favor of the Lord's on me today, guys. You know, I'm thinking 4 for $4 at Wendy's. You know, that is a blessing. Let me just tell you, you get French fries, drink, nuggets, and a hamburger, man. You're like rubbing it in your brothers and sisters' faces, you know. $5, you got nothing. favor. No, that's not. It's not about, you have to understand what the scripture is saying. It's not about you receiving something. It's not about a 70-inch TV screen. It's not about having a bigger salary than your neighbor. The favor of the Lord is about you being self-sufficient in abundance with Jesus to overcome all the circumstances of your life. That under everything that you're pressured, God says you are good enough, and with me, we can overcome it. And on top of that, I'm going to bless you abundantly so that you can do the good works that I've called you to, so that you could live a generous life. Charitable donations, giving to the poor, being obedient, giving to the church so that the church can do what God's called it to do. So that maybe you do see your neighbor and are able to say, you know what? I'm going to bless them with something. They just don't know it yet. Now that's God's favor. God's favor says you have access to that through Jesus, all that favor. But isn't that kind of what we want, though? Because doesn't it also, I mean, it takes a little prosperity to be generous. Can't be broke and give somebody. You got no money, you know? And so when we're talking about the favor of the Lord, there's a lot of things at play. But what I think we've got to walk away with is two things. Is that God doesn't play favorites. I want you to leave this morning knowing that you're his favorite. And if for any reason you're struggling with favor in your life, you need to remember that where you find it is in Jesus. And it's with Jesus. It's through the work that he did. It's what he sacrificed for. Oh, I think about that at times, like, man, what did he go through for me? I'm over here trying to get a front parking spot at Walmart and comparing that to the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. I'm thinking, man, I got this thing messed up. You know, like, that ain't right. But it's not. But here's the thing, though. I want us to walk away today being able to kind of raise our shoulders up as Christ followers, as people who are said, you are adopted into the family of God, and be able to say, because of that, I have favor from my Father. I have access to the whole thing. Let's put 2 Corinthians back up. Let's look at this for a minute. It says here, this is the promise that God gives us. Through Jesus, 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing. Like, think about that for a minute. Every favor and earthly blessing. God is able to make. He is able to make. He is able to do. He's able to process it. He's able to make it happen, both spiritually and naturally. Why do I know naturally? Because it literally says earthly blessing. Okay, so we can know that we can actually see fruits of God's favor in the natural. He's going to make all grace come to you in abundance so that you may always, under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Let's break this down. You guys want to break it down a little bit with me? If you, this is the first time here, we like I like to share a little bit of words with you. I'm a word guy. And I think it's funny how the Amplified spells it out a little bit. It says, you know, God is able to make all grace come, like parentheses closed, you know, it's like favor and blessing. What you need to know when you're reading sometimes is that our English words don't necessarily always hold or encompass the entirety of really what the scripture says. Because in Greek and Hebrew, those words were a collective of words, but yet one word. So actually, the Greek word here actually means blessing, favor, and grace, all three together. So you're getting one Greek word that means three English words. And in our mind, we separate grace and favor, don't we? We kind of do. We think, I need God's grace in this. I tripped, and I fell back into a sin that I've been working on, and I just need God's grace to cover it. What you're really saying is you need God's favor to cover it. You need God's blessing to cover it. You need God's grace to cover it. It's what you're saying. Because what we have to realize is that favor is something God has given to us. We have access to it. Favor didn't become or didn't come after Jesus. It was favor that came before Jesus. Because if we know that it is by grace that we are saved, right? That means what we're saying is it is by the favor of God that we were saved. It was by God's grace, by his favor, by his blessing, that he decided to send us Jesus. So what's interesting is that favor didn't come because of Jesus. Jesus came because of favor. That grace means that it was unmerited, undeserved. That's what it means. Unmerited, undeserved favor. That's what grace would mean in our definition. And favor means that there is a favorable thing that people turn towards. That's when we use favor. But in the Greek here, what we're finding out is that favor and grace are the same. This specific word in the Greek is about 169 occurrences of this Greek word in the New Testament. And the majority of those are grace and favor. A Hebrew word that we find there in our Proverbs scripture, okay, means grace and favor. Literally the same thing. For all those who find me will find life and find grace from the Lord. For all those who could find me and find life will find favor from the Lord. For all of those who will find me will find life and find blessing from the Lord. It's all the same thing. But we have to give it an English word. But what we're saying is that when you find God, when you find Jesus, when you're looking for Jesus and you find him, he's going to give you life eternal and grace, favor, and blessing. Why? Because that's who God is. That's who God is. So the one thing we're missing in the context of this word, grace and favor, is the one connotation that comes in the Greek that we don't get. And here's what I mean. The word in the Greek actually refers to God freely extending himself, reaching to a people because he is disposed to blessing them. So you don't get that. Oh, I just need grace. You're praying out with all you got. You know, you're on your knees and something's happening. I need a favor of the Lord. You're praying for something that God is already dispositioned to give you. Because it was that disposition that sent Jesus. It was that disposition that said, I will give all of it so that you can come to know favor. I'll give everything I have so that you can be blessed by me. Why? Because my character is inclined to lay hands on you, to give you blessing, to make your life prosperous, to have a healed marriage, and for your kids to grow up, and for you to see them, and you have all these things happening, and God says, I'm inclined before you were ever thought of, before he ever breathed, for he ever said anything of creation, his characteristic was inclined to bless people. So it was his favor and it was his grace and who he was that said, I just want to bless you. I want you to walk out of Summit Church on September 4th knowing that you have favor, so I sent you Jesus. 2,000 and some odd years ago, so that you can know favor. And really what we really say is, you know, God doesn't love, he is love. God doesn't give grace, he is grace. God doesn't toss out favor, he is favor. It's literally what makes him up. God, I need favor. You know what you're really saying, church, is I need Jesus. That's what I need. I need Jesus. I want his favor in my life. I want to see the fruits of Jesus. Well, it says you will. It says you will. Jesus actually told us that we'll do greater works than him. That's a favor. So how do we find favor? That's where I started this whole thing. Was like, Lord, I just want favor. I didn't realize how selfish of a prayer that was, or maybe even how ignorant of a prayer it was until I really began to read it out. And when Pastor David told me, hey, I want you to speak on this Sunday, and I want you to speak what's in your spirit, I'm going to tell you from a pastor's standpoint, I was struggling because I felt like in some certain areas in life I needed favor. Just wanted to see some favor. What I'm saying, literally what I'm saying, church, is I need to see God's hand in my life. That's what I'm saying. Not necessarily out of desperation, but in the fact that I know that I can't do it on my own. Especially now that school started and I have 5 kids running around my house. Like, good Lord, I need some favor, Lord Jesus. What I'm really saying is, God, show up right now. Or this child ain't going to school tomorrow. I'm telling you that right now. But the thing is that ultimately we have to trace it back. Sometimes, church, when we begin to delve into the Bible, it's infinitely living. And to sit here this morning, I hope that you walk away with the same revelation that I have, which was, it's more than just asking for the grace of God or the favor of God. It's understanding that God's inclination, who he is already to bless you. It's already to show you favor. It's already for you to literally stand up and say, favor's on my life. Favor's on my life. Why? Because I found Jesus. How do you get the fruit of favor in your life is to find Jesus. And there might be many of us this morning saying, well, I've found Jesus. I mean, I'm here at church, and I raised my hand in worship, and, you know, and I clapped when everybody was clapping, and, you know, and I read my Bible about 2 times every 7 days, and, like, I'm doing pretty good, I think, you know. No, I think there's something different about what we're really talking about. It's more than necessarily these religious actions. It's about finding Jesus. Let me explain what I'm saying. We know the account in the Gospels of the woman who had a blood issue. Okay? So sometimes when I think Jesus was walking in a crowd, you know, I have to get out of Canyon, Texas, because a crowd here is like 27 people. You know, so let's put Jesus in New York City for a moment. And then there's a crowd of people following Jesus. And there's a woman who has an issue of blood, who knows in all of her heart and all of the faith that if she could just find Jesus in the crowd, that she would have his favor. If I could just find Jesus in the crowd, I'll do whatever I got to do. She was unclean. She was sick. She shouldn't have been in the city to begin with. No, I've determined it in my mind that if I can just find Jesus, I will find favor. And so she pursued Jesus through the crowd, pushing, no longer caring about the distractions of the crowd, pushing through despite the sickness and the circumstances, pursuing Christ at such a level to get within arm's reach of his robe, healed, favor. Finding Jesus is more than just doing, it's pursuing. Finding Jesus is more than just doing some things. It's about pushing through the crowd, the distractions, about getting close. If I'm telling you today that God's favor in its entirety is for you, then all you have to do is get into arm's distance. And the fruit of God's favor will manifest itself. It'll happen. We know that in James it says, if you'll draw close to God, that God will draw close to you. The onus is on who? God? Did Jesus chase that lady down in the crowd? David says in the Psalms, when I call out to you, you answer. The onus is on who? David. The favor is available. You have access through Jesus to get to God, who is favor. But the onus is on us. To find Jesus is to find ourselves through the crowd, through the distractions, through the traits of the fallen world. For us to realize that he doesn't play favorites, that maybe if they look like they have more favor in their life, that maybe they're just closer to Jesus than I am. Maybe I just got to get closer. And maybe I should quit comparing what's going on in my life with other people. I'm a big football fan, as we've said before, just at the beginning of it. But I was listening to an interview with Herman Edwards, who used to be a head ball coach at the Jets and I believe Kansas City. And they asked him, what do you do when the rookies come in the locker room? What do you say to them? What do you amp them up with, you know? And, you know, I think it may have been Mike and Mike, you know, and you know how those guys are at times. Like, they're trying to get them wrapped up, you know, riled up. Like, come on, what do you say to the rookies? What do you say to the rookies? Come on, why don't you tell? Because the season's about to start. And he says, well, you know what I do? I sit them all down, and I tell them, I'm going to treat every one of you fairly, but I'm not treating any of you the same. Man, it was like biblical principle 101, like, just hit me in the face. Like, that's God. Listen, I'm going to treat you fair, but I'm not treating you the same. Why? Because you're not the same to anybody. I breathe uniqueness in you and gifts and talents in you. I thought of you before you were even in your mother's womb. I knew and had plans for you. And your plans are only for you and for no one else. So quit comparing, because the same for you could actually ruin you, take you away from your purpose and the plans and the destiny God has for you. God says, I'm going to treat everyone you fairly because all of you are my favorites. But the fruits of those favors are going to look different. The fruits of that favor will ultimately help other people. Isn't that what we're seeing in 2 Corinthians here? I'm going to give you everything you need to be self-sufficient without aid and without support so that you can do good works and be able to do charitable donations so that you can help people naturally. So here's the thing, guys. I had to kind of get over myself a little bit. I had to say, I realize that the favor of the Lord that I'm praying for has nothing to do with a parking spot or 70-inch TV. What it has everything to do with is pointing people back to Jesus. The favor of the Lord, what does that mean? I want fruits of favor in my life. What that means is that something happens in your life that's unexplainable. What God says is, I created a process. I want you to seed it. I want you to give it some time. And then we're going to have some harvest, okay? It's a natural premise. We all know that. Whether you're a believer in Jesus today or not, you do know that if you put a seed in the ground, you give it some time and some water. You've got to water it, you know, because I've done that once or twice and nothing happened. So you got to water it, but you got to give it its time, and then you're going to have the harvest of the seeds that you had. But here's what God's fruits of favor is in your life, is when those harvests come, it doesn't make any sense. Well, I only planted like 2 seeds and I got like 1,000 apples. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. I planted 2 seeds, 1,000 apples. It's like trying to think it through. And then someone says, well, what did you do? How did you do that? And then your answer is God. I can only explain it by the favor of God all my life. I don't understand that. Because favor of God, the fruit of favor in your life, is about the things that are happening that are unexplainable. Think about this. Joseph was sold to slavery and ends up in the palace. I'm pretty sure that if Joseph was sitting here, he wouldn't be able to explain exactly how that happened. except that he was being obedient, that he loved the Lord, that he was praying and surrendering his life. God says, I'm using that. What's Noah? What's the story of Noah? Literally, if you read the account in Genesis, it's like everybody's terrible. You know, like God's literally at this point, it's like, all right, we're just cashing in the chips here, you know, throwing them all out. But it literally says, but the Lord found favor in Noah, that Noah had the favor of the Lord. Let me tell you what it says. If I can find it, I'm sure it's here. That this is the account of Noah, so it's Genesis 6. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. Now let's get this real quick. Here it comes. He walked in close fellowship with God. He was finding favor because he was walking close with God. He had pursued God, that he began to press into God. When you're close with God, you receive favor. So the favor of the Lord manifesting itself has a lot to do with your positioning with Jesus. Let me explain it. I can explain it a little bit better. So you know that there's crowds of people following Jesus. We also find in the Gospels that he sent out 70 disciples in pairs to go do his work. So in that moment, we have 70 disciples. But then we also know that out of the 70, there was 12 apostles, right? And we know them. They're listed in all four Gospels. Then of the 12, there are three that were a part of his inner circle and one who self-acclaimed loved the most in John. And we step back. What are you talking about, Mackie? You just told me right there, Jesus played favorites. He had 70, and then he picked out 12, and then out of the 12, he picked out three, and then out of the three, he had one. No, you're wrong. And let me tell you how, because if we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and we know that God is already bent to bless and show favor, and that he's not going to be favorites and play favorites, then maybe the assumption of the opposite is true, is that out of the crowd, there were 70 that pushed to the closest. And out of there were 70, there was 12 that were holding up their arms saying, I am getting Jesus. And out of the 12, there was three that were always side by side with Jesus. And out of the three, there was one that never left the side of Jesus. Why do we think it was Jesus that played favorites? What if what happened was is that there were 70 who loved and pursued. And out of the 70, there was 12 who loved more and pursued more. And out of the 12, there was three who even more so pursued Jesus. And out of the three, there was one that loved him the most. And in kind, Jesus loved him. The question is, if you want favor in your life, are you loving God the most? Are you pushing through the crowd? Are you making sure you're getting there and that you're trying to spend every moment by his side? Because when you can push into that, then you are within arm's distance of favor. Not being favored and fruits, but literally favor itself embodied in him. Man, I'm grace, favor. I'm so inclined to bless you. It's who I am. We're finding life. Finding him finds life. And we receive favor. You want to find the fruit of favor in your life, then pursue Jesus with all you got. And I got there and I'm thinking, okay, I feel like I'm onto something. Are you guys onto it with me? Yeah, we can nod your head because everybody's staring at me a little bit. You good? You know, we're participating. Okay, everybody. I'm glad you guys smile at me. Makes me feel good. Either that or I've got something on me. You guys are laughing at me. But I get here, right? I got finding favor. I understand how the fruits of favor manifest itself in my life. I've gotten to this point. And so what I wanted to do was help ask the other question that I think we all have. Like the first question was, can I get some favor? Question mark. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I want. But then the other question that you know we all ask is, well, how do I keep it? Because it feels like there's like times where it's good and there's times where it's not. I want to keep the fruits of favor in my life. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And if you're writing notes, I want you to write this thought down, okay? that the fruit of favor will always be a harvest of obedience and faith. The fruit of favor will always be the harvest of obedience and faith. Why? Because we're responsible for obedience. Amen? And we're also responsible for faith. We know that it's grace that we're saved through faith and not by works so that we can boast. It's through favor, blessing, and grace that we're saved through our faith. Through our faith, the onus is still on us. God says, I've laid up every favor, every blessing. It's here. And I have a perfect destiny and a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for you that you're to align yourself in if you'll just have some faith and obedience. Man, what's obedience and faith look like? Lord, I'm trying to keep the fruit of favor in my life. What I'm really saying is I'm trying to keep the fruit of Jesus in my life. I want Jesus's fruit to be a part of my life so that I can point people back. Obedience and faith. This is what that looks like. Generosity and prayer. That's what it looks like. The natural of obedience and faith is generosity and prayer. It's kindness and prayer. Well, I don't have any money. I can't be generous. Well, be kind. Let me just tell you, that's generous. In the world today, how many people are kind? How many people are kind? How many people would you describe that they're kind people? It kind of doesn't matter what I have ever done. They just show me kindness. The fruit of favor will be a harvest of generosity and prayer. Your prayer life is your pursuit to favor. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more obedient he's going to kind of require of you in some degree. But at the same time, don't you want to be obedient? Like when you start getting that close and you start to understand, man, he loves me. And all of my shame and all of my brokenness, he loves me. And all my weaknesses and even in all of my giftings, he loves me. Well, Mackie, I just want you to be kind today. Okay, God, I can do that. Will you help me? Oh, yeah, Mackie, I'll be by your side because my grace is sufficient for you. My favor is sufficient for you. Okay, God, so if I start living a life of generosity and I start living a life of prayer and worship and pursuit, then the fruits of your favor are going to find its way in my life, and I'm going to be excited about planting seeds and waiting and doing my part and saying, oh my gosh, this is unexplainable. I went to the doctor because I was sick, and then I did what they asked me to do, and I'm healed. Why? Well, I was obedient, and I had faith. I'm not sure what's down here. My notes aren't down here, but just in general, I feel like ultimately it's a good space to do this number. But what I'm saying to you is that we have a requirement that we're to do. And God says, I have all of the access of my favor. And you have it because you belong to me. I was thinking about that a little bit more, about how we quickly want to play favorites and point people out and get all mad. I know how it works. I hope your teachers that are in this room will understand this, because you know that they wish that their other students would get this, but you know that there's bickering happening. Like, man, you're the teacher's pet. Your teacher's pet, always doing your stuff, and she likes you better than everybody else. But yet that student, I wish that they would be able to look at him and say, well, but I study when I get home. And I'm on time, and I'm doing my work diligently. And then when I do have questions, I respectfully go talk to my teacher and ask for help. And then when I'm still not doing really good, I'm willing to sacrifice more of my time to go to her classroom when the time I'm not supposed to be there, so that I can have more help from her. Do you know what that looks like? That looks like favor in the classroom. Well, that guy keeps getting promotions. Why? Because he's loyal. He's kind. He's obedient. Especially when the boss is unkind, he still shows kindness, favor, because it becomes unexplainable. Because it comes unexplainable. I want you guys to walk away today excited about this. I hope that some things may have been a little challenging, right? Asking questions like, well, do I really love God the most? And maybe is that the reason why I'm not seeing the fruits of his favor in my life? Or maybe the times that there's understanding that sometimes we have to be in a pit. As I studied out the words grace and favor, do you know how many times Job asked for grace and favor? So many times. But at the end of that story, there's redemption and there's reconciliation. And that whole story points people back to Jesus and the heart of God. Don't let your circumstances make it look like God's playing favorites. Let your faith tell you the truth. And you live out a life that's pursuing Jesus with such power, such pursuit, with such an aggression that it's almost like that person wants Jesus so bad that I'm almost convicted that I'm not pursuing like they are. Favor isn't crazy. It's not elusive. It's for you. God says, you're my favorite. He says that this morning. You're his favorite. And his favor is available to you. And he wants you to have it. Do you know why he wants you to have it so bad? Because when you start getting it, it means you're getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to him, which was the whole reason. The whole reason he gave favor and grace to begin with.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. It was recorded as a ministry of Summit Church in Canyon, Texas. If this message helped and encouraged you, please share it with someone else. For more, please go to yoursummitchurch.com.